Digging Deeper Without the Coalface, the podcast that shares the incredible stories of the talented and passionate people in our industry who not only shine on site but are doing incredible things in their local communities, on the national stage, and sometimes even making a global impact. We often interview people and would love to share the whole story with you. So here it is, this episode of Digging Deeper Without the Coalface, thanks to Australian and family-owned business Expressway Spares, proudly celebrating 60 years of supplying Hitachi and Caterpillar components to the mining industry, and your host, Jessica Rouse.
Here we go, another episode of Digging Deeper Without the Coalface. International Women's Day is coming up, and I wanted to put together an episode with a woman in the mining industry who's on the ground, getting dirty. Sienna Mellon has been in the mining industry for about 3 years now. You might have seen her pop up on TikTok or Instagram by sharing her story and her experiences on social media. She absolutely took off, about 120,000 followers in just 4 months, and her following just kept on growing. Sienna's a site manager up in central Queensland, managing a bunch of blokes in their daily tasks with a company. Sienna, welcome to the podcast, mate. How are you?
Hi, Jess. I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. I stumbled across you on TikTok and I loved it. I talked to a lot of amazing women in mining who've been in the industry for years and years doing some great stuff, but you just stood out to me. You're out there, you're getting dirty, you're not even 30 yet, and you're, you know, at quite a pretty amazing point in your career.
Thank you. Yes, I've had a very good run over the last couple of years, and I am fortunate to have had a couple of really good leaders that have really set me in down the right path. And yeah, site manager, I'm 28 at the moment and turned 29 this year, so excited to see what happens next.
Yeah, heck yeah. So tell me about your start in mining. It wasn't your first pick for a career, was it?
No, it wasn't. So I actually studied my bachelor's in agricultural science at the University of Melbourne. My intent was to be an agronomist. Anyone that doesn't know what an agronomist is, it is somebody who helps with the soil for farmers, is probably the easiest and simplest way to put it. and then once I did that, I was really struggling to find a grad program and work in that industry. So I ended up working in fertilizers for a few years down in Victoria. And then an opportunity presented itself to me when I was down in Victoria to move up to Moranbah in Queensland and start a role there, which was the superintendent role that I was in when I started my TikTok account. And then that progressed into the site manager role.
Was it an easy choice to make that move, you know, from down south of Australia all the way up north for one?
I remember the first thing. So I got a phone call. I was contacted by someone that I knew, and they were like, I have a job for you. Do you want to move up here? And I knew where she was, and I knew that it was in Moranbah, but I didn't know anything about the town. And all I thought was, it's obviously in mining, therefore, because as a southerner, I knew nothing about mining at all. I did not understand the industry. I didn't understand what a roster was, nothing. And when she asked me to come up, all I thought was, well, I don't want to work FIFO because of my dog. And so I said to her, I was like, look, I don't want to leave my dog, so I'm probably not going to be able to do it. And she was like, oh, no, this is a residential role. We'll give you a house as part of the contract. And then she told me what the salary was, which was over double what I was on. So to be honest with you, the move was quite easy in that respect because they arranged the relocation. They arranged where I was living. I knew what my job was and what I was stepping into. Obviously, there was difficulty in leaving family and friends, but the transition was quite easy in all reality.
Yeah. That's nice to hear because I guess, you know, a lot of people may struggle with that, you know, upping their entire life for a job and going to a completely different state away from everyone you love, whether it's, you know, to live on a camp at a mine site or, you know, in that residential role that you have had the opportunity to get. It can be quite tough.
Yeah, 100%. And I try and be really transparent about the reality of the work and where it is in the roles. I am a very transient person and I have always sort of moved around and done different things. So it was being an easy an easy move for me doesn't mean it's an easy move for everybody. You are very isolated, and the things that you don't consider when you move out to places like Moranbah and other mining towns is to get back to Melbourne, you have to either get on a very, very expensive flight to get home, or you've got to drive 2 hours to get to an airport that'll get you to Brisbane, and then you've got to get on another flight down to Melbourne, and it becomes quite logistically difficult too. So it has been so rewarding for me, and I have been career ambitious, but there is definitely struggle in that, and understanding and accepting that is a good first step.
Mm, definitely. And you started in that superintendent position. Tell me what it was like, I guess, that moving up that ladder in your particular role. How did it all come about? Obviously, you're learning all about the industry as you go.
Yeah. So when I was down working in fertilizers, I was a supervisor, and then the role that came up was the superintendent. It's quite a big step for me, going from a different sort of industry, moving into a new industry and taking what was a promotion at the time. I think the one thing that I've always really focused on in my leadership journey is being working with a team and not necessarily trying to be a boss. And so I came in with the intent to learn and to understand the job and the requirement and what we did in the industry that I worked in. And it was quite successful. I made a really good base around me that was personally and professionally. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot about the leader I wanted to be. And I learned a lot about, in every industry, you see parts of it that you don't like. And I did get to learn a lot about the leader that I didn't want to be also, which has helped me really significantly now in the role that I'm in as a site manager.
Yeah, definitely. Have you had challenging moments up there in Queensland, whether it be, you know, obviously on that work side of things or, you know, outside of work?
Yeah, I definitely have. I think it's really a difficult industry to be in, and I know that there is difficulty in all industries, but there's something about being very remote in a very unforgiving workplace and a very unforgiving industry with biases on the reason why you're there. So on top of the struggle of having to be doing my job to the standard that's expected of me, I also have this assumption from many people that I only got there because I'm a girl, and that I was employed because I hit a quota, and that I'm not actually capable or competent to do the position. So when you're already a young person trying to really give it your best, when you're up against that as well, you do seem like you're very isolated at times. I think that there's no way to really get through it other than to get through it. And I've always seen the silver lining, which is the more adversity and the more difficulty there is in succeeding, then the bigger the toolbox you build coming out of it, and the more skills and capability you have because of it.
Yeah, for sure. That is definitely something that I've noticed, obviously, working as a journalist in this mining space for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. Obviously, that encouraging more females to join the industry is something that's become a bigger and bigger thing that companies are pushing, that, you know, the QRC is pushing, and the New South Wales Minerals Council in New South Wales as well. And I've started to notice some of that chatter, you know, among workers on site about, you know, females coming in and only making up that quota and not actually being able to do that job. Do you think there is this could be a bit controversial. Do you think there is a bit of that as well with some companies? Like, we're seeing them want to make up that quota to make it look like they are employing more women than perhaps they used to?
Yeah, no, and look, it's a great question. And I think that the nature of it is controversial, but when I break it down, I consider the landscape of the mining industry, and you see that, you know, historically it used to be 100% men, and we're slowly starting to chip away at seeing that gender diversity really sort of come closer to an equal number. Not that we're there yet, but I think the one thing that I've always considered, and it was a leader of mine a few years ago actually explained this to me, and he said, if we want to see organic or women organically entering industry and moving through industry the same way that men do, we do have to force it for some time. He goes, if we leave it the way it was to be able to organically change it, he's like, it will not change. Yeah. So I really took that on board because I really struggled with the idea because on one note, it's really great that we're making a genuine push to see women come in. But on the other note, it can be like really difficult for someone like me where I know that I'm capable and I know that I'm competent and I know that I am the right fit for the job. But because of the quotas, I am like unfairly impacted by bias and by assumption. But I think that we have to do something, and it's up to the hiring managers who do. Like I have worked previously where I did have a quota, and I was committed to the cause anyway, regardless of the quota or not. So I was making sure that I was hiring women that were going to represent women and not just sit in a seat. And there were a few times where I employed men because they were the better fit for the role. So it is a difficult one, but I think it's necessary as long as the hiring managers are sound in why they're choosing women and not just choosing any woman for the purpose of sitting them in a seat, still trying to find good talent.
Yeah, definitely. And that kind of leads me into your TikTok, because a lot of your early videos that you put up were, you know, advice for women and talking about women in the mining industry. Why did you decide to, I don't know, voice your opinion on it all on social media?
I don't have the answer to that. I just sort of started one day. I don't even know why. I just started making videos and yeah. I have no, like I've never really been into anything that's video based. And then one day I was like, oh, this will be cool. I'll just do it. And it just blew up. And it all started off the back of I think the first sort of mining related video I made was October 1st. And it was going to be 40 degrees that day at work. And I remember looking at the weather and coming from Victoria to see 40 on October 1st was insane. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And so then I just whipped the camera out and I was making a coffee in a schooner glass. And I was just saying that, you know, everyone says they want to work in the mining industry, but wake up on a 40 degree day and put long pants on and a shirt on and go to work every day. And it was very like light and fun and happy. Like I wasn't like, you don't understand how it is.
Yeah.
But heaps of questions came from that video. Like, how did you get in? What were you doing? So I just started responding to them and making content. So I was really like, a lot of the content I was making was almost by request.
Yeah.
And it was really successful, and the account grew well. But I also had I can't even tell you how many women have reached out to me saying that they've got work in the industry now and they've changed their jobs or they've gone off and studied something different because of the content that I've put out. So it's been and honestly, I've just been slack with work recently. I get home and I'm absolutely buggered, and I have to keep making a bit more of that because I don't want to separate from that type of content either.
Yeah, for sure. Was there a common theme to what women were reaching out to you and asking?
Yeah, so the main questions were always around like, how do I get in? Like, what do I need? Where should I go? What are the skill set that people are looking for? So a lot of the time I would talk about that, and then I found that there was still quite a depth of women asking about where should I go if I was to go into the industry, what places are safer for me, where will I be more likely to have a positive experience, that type of stuff. And once you sort of are moving around the industry a little bit, you start to understand which pockets are more naturally comfortable for women to work in. So there's a little bit of that. Other than that, it's, yeah, how do I get in? And
Yeah. And I feel like it would have opened your professional network up too, like to other female professionals in the mining industry.
It definitely has. I do tread with this one a little bit more lightly because I don't want to bite the hand that feeds me. But the industry itself is quite a difficult one to navigate as a content creator. A big reason for this is that the industry historically has had many incidents of people that use their social media in a really terrible way. So yeah. I've seen, you know, we've all seen it in the mining industry. We've seen operators and maintenance people and other people working out on site filming people, making fun of them, being dangerous on equipment and machinery. Like we've seen
the worst of
what people can do when given a phone and time out in an isolated place.
Yeah.
And then the result of that is making companies look, obviously look negligent and look dangerous, which is something that, I know the mining industry is tackling quite heavily to demonstrate that we understand the risk.
Yeah.
So with a creator having a following as big as mine, it can always be nervous for organizations to watch what I do in fear that one day I slip and I cross a line and I do the wrong thing. So I've definitely expanded my network, but I've been very conscious to who I work with, how I work with them, the message that I'm trying to deliver. I want to show people the professional side, but still be able to have fun and not show the side of social media that I'm embarrassed to share with some people.
Yeah. If anyone jumps on your social media and has a look, they'll notice that you won't see the company that you work for. You know, it's covered up. You've got that agreement with them to, I guess, you know, keep everything, I don't know how to put it,
neutral or clean.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You know, it keeps you clean, yeah. Keeps them clean.
And there's honestly the thing that I explain to people often is that there's actually very little to no value in representing an organization in this industry. We're not in the retail space. We're not in a services space. It's not like we are selling clothes and when I wear their stuff, it helps the brand. These organizations are, you know, they're a mining company. They don't need a girl with 300,000 followers promoting their brand because it's not something that necessarily benefits from social media.
Yeah, exactly.
So it actually, the reason I cover my business name now is it keeps me safe.
Yeah.
That more than anyone else.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously you're up there in Queensland, you're working quite long, hard hours, but you do still have plenty of free time. If anyone looks on your social media again, they will see what you get up to. What do you get up to when you're working so hard on, is your roster night shifts or are you just days?
No, I consider this to be the undesirable roster because I am a site manager. I oversee all operations on my site. So yeah. I am fortunate enough to be Monday to Friday. So the rest of everyone else on my site is 7/7, but I'm Monday to Friday. So my free time is a little bit more difficult to get, which does bring a bit of a struggle with the social media and sort of the magnitude that it's grown and what we've got going on in that space. So I have to be really creative with my time. But generally my spare time is dedicated to either camping, four driving, country music festivals or events. I spent a bit of time last year on the road with my dog. So pretty much anything that's outside with country music and the people that I'm friends with up here.
Yeah, for sure. If anyone was lucky enough to have a ticket to Luke Coombs, they would have seen you on stage with Lane Pittman. That looked like hilarious.
Yes, I was actually just invited as a friend with Lane to join them just to see the concert because we've been friends for a little while now.
Yeah.
And then it all sort of evolved into you should come backstage to you should come on stage. And then the next minute I'm standing on stage and I was like, what is going on? So all of that has come from my social media and I'm so grateful and so fortunate for the things that I've gotten to do and see. But if I didn't have this social media, I would still be at all of these things. I would just be there as a patron.
Exactly. And certainly some cool brands have jumped on the Sienna train.
Yes. I actually could not believe, like a year ago I was saying to my friends, like, I would absolutely love to be sponsored by Bundy Rum, Iron Williams, Ariat, these type of names. And I now am currently sponsored by Bundy Rum. I am working with Ariat for CMC and a few other events that we've got coming up. And even Iron Williams have sent me a pair of boots and a belt before as well. So some of the things I've seen and done and been like just being a part of is unreal.
Yeah, that's awesome. The theme for International Women's Day this year, there's always a theme every year, and this year it's Accelerate Action, talking about inspiring momentum for change and pushing for equality across the globe to happen faster. When I say to you International Women's Day and Accelerate Action, what are your first thoughts?
The first thing I think of is about 4 years ago, I remember first learning the data of when we would meet gender equality, and it was like 104 years or something. It was around the century mark it was going to take for us to reach 50-50. And I remember feeling sad knowing that I would not get to see the day that we achieve this. So when I think about acceleration, it's what is it that I can do and we can do so that people in our age bracket do get to see this and be a part of it.
Mm, exactly. And just lastly, what are your goals? Do you have some goals for the future?
I am in a very interesting place at the moment where I don't actually know where I'm going. I don't know where the social media is going to take me. My career is obviously moving quite well in the industry as well. But I know that I'm very purpose-driven, and whatever I do, whatever direction I go, it needs to add value. I don't want to just make money and live a life where I don't really have to struggle. I want to do something where I can create change. And for me, my passion is women, and whether that's women in industry or women in any other walk of life, I hope that I can do something there. So I'm starting public speaking and trying to get involved with community events and stuff like that to create something where I can help accelerate women's equality.
That's awesome. Sienna, it's been a pleasure to chat to you today. Thank you so much for joining us on Digging Deeper.
Thanks, Jess. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of Digging Deeper with At The Coalface. You can download more episodes of the podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, also on YouTube, Amazon Music, all the usual places. Make sure you leave us a rating and a review. We'd love to hear what you thought. And if you do have a story idea or something you'd like us to talk about on the podcast, please send me an email, jess@thecoalface.net.au. I'd love to hear from you. And we'll be back next time for another episode of Digging Deeper with At The Coalface.